Shabbat shalom. When my children were very young, we had come home from a beautiful evening outside and were about to get ready for bed when a giant bug flew into our apartment through the open front door. The kids started screaming and zooming back and forth and all around. I didn't know what kind of bug it was, but I chased after it. I saw it fly into the bathroom and land on the wall. Aha! I thought, running after it, shoe in my hand. It's trapped. Squish! I squished the bug under my shoe. It was done. I felt a little queasy as I looked up and lifted my shoe to see a green, almost translucent liquid beginning to glow as it was coming out of the bug. It was a firefly. I looked at it, dead on the wall. Its beautiful, almost magical, green liquid light stuck against the wall forever. And I felt a sense of dread. The sad thing was, I had just been teaching my children about fireflies earlier that evening. We had been marveling at how they lit up areas along the path on the way home from the park. And I felt so badly for having killed one. Its liquid light stayed on my wall for quite some time, a reminder of my transgression. In the Talmud, we read that fear depletes a person's strength. It is exactly in the moments of fear that we find ourselves making poor choices, going the wrong way, and tuning in to the wrong signals. Fear is a taskmaster. We simply follow our feelings rather than slow down and be rational. Fear acts on our sympathetic nervous system and literally frightens us into acting impulsively. Think about a time when you were really scared and acted impulsively in the face of fear. Of course, we know that fear is a very important instinct that keeps us safe and leads us to make totally warranted, even life-saving decisions. That's not what I'm focusing in on tonight. Rather, I am interested in thinking about the more irrational and unwarranted fears that spontaneously or unconsciously push us towards making poor decisions. Let me put it this way. It's like inflammation to the body. When we get hurt, our body quickly surges in an attempt to relieve the stress. This kind of attention on a cellular level contributes to inflammation in the body and is part of an effective healing mechanism. For example, when a cut, bruise, or rash needs to heal. However, if inflammation becomes chronic, the body reacts as if there is trauma where there is not. And this can lead to all kinds of problems and illnesses. Fear acts just like inflammation. Healthy fear is healthy. Unwarranted fear leads to problems. There is a correlation between unwarranted fears and transgression itself. How many of us have had our judgment clouded in a moment of trepidation? Maybe we sent an email out way too quickly before calming down. Or maybe we threw money away because we were anxious and fearful and did not properly assess the issue. In this week's Torah portion, the Israelites are wandering in the desert on the cusp of the Holy Land. Moses sends in a group of 12 Israelite spies to go into the land to bring back a description of what they see. When they return, the spies famously describe the land as flowing with milk and honey. But the majority of them also say that there are problems. The people who live there are giant and would squash the Israelites as if they were tiny grasshoppers. The spies got spooked, and the people they saw became outsized as if they were giants. This was an illusion of the imagination, and it came from fear. Often, When we think about the future in our personal lives, we can allow fear to get in the way of pursuing the things that we really want. Fear, acting like its demonic self, will do a good job of convincing us to take the low road or the overly cautious route. But of course, it is only natural when we think of the future that we are sometimes afraid. This is part of what it means to be human and vulnerable to the great existential truths that rule over humanity. We are mortal. We will all fail in ways large and small. We all come to the same end. Yet there is so much potential in the moments we do have, and potential in the choices we can make about our lives. So, how do we limit fear's role in guiding such choices? Here are three Jewish sources that offer us guidance. First, a midrash. A man walks down the road when all of a sudden he is surrounded by a pack of dogs. They are barking loudly and jumping as they circle around him. The man feels terrified. He looks around for a way to escape, but the dogs surround him completely. He scans the horizon for help, but cannot see anyone close by. So he takes a breath, looks down at the dog, and very, very gently pulls out his hand face up and allows one of the dogs to sniff his hand. The dog seems to calm down a little bit. So the man takes a deep breath and slowly, slowly, gently lowers his body to the ground and sits cross-legged in the center of the circle of dogs. The dogs approach him, but their barking has stopped. They are no longer frightened of the man, and the man is no longer frightened of them. There is a deep teaching in this story about the need to recognize fear in both ourselves and others, and to combat it with empathy. We limit fear's hold on us when we lead with empathy. Second, a Talmudic teaching. We read in the Talmud that separate reeds are weak and easily broken, but bound together, they are strong and hard to tear apart. Fear feeds on a sense of isolation. Social connections can help us thrive in the face of vulnerability, uncertainty, and fear. What Jewish sages have known for centuries, science now backs up. Positive social connections lead to a release of oxytocin, inhibiting the stress response. Interestingly enough, this is further augmented when we not only connect with others, but when we help others. We are biologically rewarded for coming to another's aid with an increase in dopamine, which makes us feel calm and secure. We limit fear's hold on us when we develop supportive and positive social connections. Third, some wisdom from the Torah. The psalmist writes, "When I am afraid, I trust in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I am not afraid. What can mortals do to me?" Above all, in order to alleviate our sense of fear, we need to draw upon our inner strength, our spiritual center, and our trust in God. That's why our sages referred to the midah, the soul trait of courage, as ometz lev, courage of the heart. We limit fear's hold on us when we open our hearts to the existence of something greater than ourselves and trust in that force. Kol ha'olam kulo gesher tsar me'od, said the Hasidic master Nachman of Breslau. The whole world is a narrow bridge, but the important thing is to not be afraid. to not allow ourselves to stray from the path in response to fear, but instead draw strength from deep within, even and perhaps especially when we are anxious or distressed. Our sense of inner guidance can help us to see things clearly. As we learn in Psikhta Rabati, a man saw an insect that looked like a firefly, and it terrified him. He was asked, "Is this what terrifies you? At night, it is a fiery and blazing thing. But when morning comes, you can see it is nothing more than a worm." Shabbat Shalom.